Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This morning we looked at verses 5 through 8 as we looked at the mind of Christ and we looked at the person of Christ and we saw that mind that he had, that tremendous condescension, that tremendous humility And I went to that passage first because I felt that seeing that as we look at these verses before, it helps us to understand a little of how it's to take place. These four verses are verses that give to us the way that the church is to operate. The way that we need to be together in the body of Christ, in our relation with each other, in our goals, and where we are, what we're thinking towards, and what we really desire, is what is really important in life. So it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." As we look at these passages this evening, I want us to consider what he is saying here and to take it to heart. If there be consolation in Christ, and it's just interesting in that the construction there in the Greek there's a question that seems like it's posed, but it's poised from the sense of the only answer to that is that there is, and so sometimes ones have said it could be translated "since there is," because it's saying, "If there is, and there is, that's the there isn't any other way that it can come out, because that's the way the construction of the Greek mind was as that was written, and so it's an understanding that yes, there is some consolation in Christ, and that is that. That the word consolation there is that coming alongside of Christ and how it's how Christ has worked in you, and as Christ has worked in you, as Christ has and there is that the consolation there is that coming alongside since that has happened in you, and further in that verse, and if any comfort of love. In that he is letting us know that there is first of all in the consolation there is that encouragement. There is that encouragement that Christ has had as he has come alongside us. And each of these is in relationship to because of what Christ has done for us, what we're to be doing for each other. And the idea here is as Christ has given us that encouragement of coming alongside and being our help, so that is what is to be taking place within the body of Christ. And that is to what we are to be doing, and that fits there within the context as he goes on and speaks in these various areas. And so we are to be those that are coming alongside to encourage one another uh, in in our faith, and through the joys and through the trials and through the problems. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and this is as we have received that comfort of love, as we have received that ourselves, so that is what we are to be giving to one another. We have talked a lot in these last days. It seems like the passages of Scripture, as we've been going through the books, it's just emphasized again and again that love that we are to have, that unselfish love that we are to have one for another, and how we're to be working at that love. And as we've said a number of times, it's the evidence of being a Christian is that love that we have for the brother. It's something that is a natural action for the Christian, because natural in the sense it's part of the new nature. It's not natural for us to love even when those are maybe going against us. But in the body of Christ, there is to be that coming together of love. There is to be that continual pouring out of ourselves to our brethren in Christ. A continual giving of that selfless love, a comfort to a brother that's in need. This is that. So if there is, he's saying, okay, if there is that comfort of love, and yes, there is, and it's like since there is that comfort of love, since there is that, maybe not to the degree that it ought to be, but in the believer, that is something that the Lord has given and placed within us, and that we are to be working towards and encouraging one another, and there should be that expression of love that we have one for another. There ought not to be within the body of Christ those things where there is not that expression of that care and that seeking to understand and that seeking to help and to bring one another along. That's what God has given us in the body of Christ. And how sad it is when we see when that is not being expressed, and when believers are responding in the flesh instead of responding with that heart of love and compassion. And then when it goes on there and it says, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, I believe he's speaking here of the Spirit, a small s there, not the large s. It is that fellowship that we have one with another, with your spirit and your brother or sister's spirit. There is to be that fellowship, that communion of the Spirit. It's something that should be a part of the believer's Christian life. Should be a part of what is taking place. Is there's a spirit fellowship of me with you, with another believer in Christ, and there should be that. It should be, one of the things that we've enjoyed as we have visited and questioned those that have come here for membership here in the last 2 weeks is that expression that they felt a oneness in spirit when they came here into our midst. That's encouraging. That's what we want ones to see, and that's what we need to be working towards, and making sure that we don't lose that. There's a fellowship, there's a spirit fellowship with your spirit and with the other believers in Christ. It's so sad when that is not the case within an assembly. And so as Paul is writing here to the Philippians, he's speaking of that in this verse, that yes, that there is that coming alongside, there is that comfort of love, there is that fellowship of the Spirit, and there is that, the word bowels and mercies there. It's just that we are really affected. We're affected internally because we have compassion, because we have a care, because when our brother hurts, we hurt. When they rejoice, we rejoice. And that's what ought to be as a part in the body of Christ, that oneness of spirit, to where there is compassions, that the bowels and mercies, where we are we're affected by the life of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so in that first verse, those ifs are written like senses. It's something that is there, yes, in relationship to Christ. You have that coming alongside. You have that love. You have that fellowship of the Spirit. You have that compassion where you feel one for another. But then he goes on in the second verse, and he says, "Fulfill ye my joy. Fulfill ye my joy." And in that we see him coming and dealing with yes, those things are true, but there needs to be more. There needs to be a single-mindedness, and I think that's what we see in the second verse. There needs to be a single mind. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy." He said, "What I want to see more is I want to see a single mind. I want to see that you are like-minded, that you have the same love." We're all different. We all have things that we like differently. We've been talking to some recently about painting, and some like light, real light walls, and some like them painted darker and darker colors. But he's talking here not about those things that we have some preferences over, but what is the real drive of our love? Where is our love centered? What do we really love? What really thrills your soul? It's not, okay, I like this color, you like that color, and that, I guess that comes into a further passage. How do you resolve that? But that's inconsequential, right? It's inconsequential as far as what's here. Where is your love? Where is your love? And when he's speaking here to the Philippians, he wants them to have a singleness in their love for the Lord, to where that is what is driving them. That you have the same love. A good example of that is when we went out to Fredericktown and had the parade there our little float in their parade. We all have various interests and such, but we were there together because We had a love for the Lord, and we wanted the people to know our Lord. And so it was in a common cause, having the same love and the same desires as we were going forth and serving. That's the way the church should be always functioning. It should be that the functioning that we have that same love. That's what drives me. That's what there's nothing else that all that thrills my soul is Jesus. That's the idea. Have the same love, and he says there, having the same love, being of one accord. That is you're going in the same direction. You're going in the same direction. Watching a marching band, and you see those that are going together, and they've worked and labored to go together and planned that when we're going to do this together, and when one turns, the whole group turns. It's kind of amazing watching them sometimes, and how they're doing that all together, but it takes work. It takes work to do that. That's what we're to do in the church. There should be that we have one accord, one direction, one direction that we are going together, not pulling apart, wanting to go here or there. And then he says, in one accord and of one mind, a single-mindedness. Yes, we have diversity of personalities. We've got diversities of gifts, the different things that the Spirit has given us. But there's a unity in purpose, direction, in the Spirit and mind, where we have a singleness of mind. We have one mind. What a blessing it is when that's the way everyone in the assembly, that we are of one mind. We're not divided. Yes, we have diversities of gifts. We have things that the Lord has given different ones, but it's like the body, and the Scripture uses that example of the body. Everything has its own part, but it's working together, and so the body functions as it ought. And that's what he's saying here, that there's a single-mindedness, and then that there is a lowliness of mind, and there I think we see that in verse 3, and into verse 4 as we see that let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The word strife was interesting. One of the Greek dictionaries used the word to describe this word strife as electioneering, being close to election time. I thought that was quite fitting. Electioneering. Going against and disputing and some of the stuff that takes place and some of the things that are thrown around discrediting of character and all kinds of things that take place. But he says no, that ought not, let nothing be done through strife. Let nothing be done to where we are seeking for our own and stirring up trouble. Don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, where we want the glory, where we want the recognition. What do we see with the mind of Christ? He set all of that aside. He set the recognition of his of all of his glory and all of his person, if there was anybody, if there was anyone in the world that deserved all of the glory, because he is. But when we seek to have glory for ourselves, he says, don't let anything be done. Don't let anything be done through vainglory. Diotrephes in 3 John, he says he loved having the preeminence. Says, let not that be any part, wanting the preeminence, but just there'll be no going after any vainglory. And then he goes on. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, we're to submit to ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, aren't we? There's to be that giving over and submitting of ourselves. And it's like I've heard in the past of some church assemblies that have had great controversy and division because they didn't agree on the color of the carpet that was going to be put down. Well, you know, that's what he's saying here. That I don't care what color the carpet is. Yeah, I would have a preference. I have a preference. You know, my wife says, do you like this or do you like that? Well, sometimes I say, you know, I really don't care. Just do it. There are times that I have a preference. I don't like that. Yeah, that's what I want, per se. But, you know, we can give that over, can't we? We don't have to have our way. We don't have to have our way. You know, if you like that, you know, it isn't going to make any difference to where our love, to where our devotion, to the things that really thrill us. Yeah, if it works, you like it, good. Do it, and let's go on. You know, it's no strife, no vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, he says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Submitting to them, giving over, not to demanding our own selves. It's amazing how much a strife that there can be within a local assembly when Christians want their own way, and they get upset if it doesn't happen that way. But this is a you know, that's where we seek to do things together. I've enjoyed, as I think I mentioned the other night there before the voting on Pastor Howard, of how much I've appreciated our elders as they've worked together. I've appreciated as they, you know, one might have one idea and somebody else, but as we talk about it together, and there's been a unified working together, that's been a great blessing to me as a pastor, you know, to see that unity that we've had there. And that's the same unity that we need throughout the body, throughout the body of Christ. You know, we're looking toward a transition here, and as I think of that, I think you know, this is so important you know, we come to the end of the year, and Pastor Howard will be taking over, just that we have that one spirit, that one mind, that we're going together for the cause of Christ. We'll set aside our own preferences. We'll esteem the other person and set aside our own. And that's what it says in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's a giving over. It's having that lowly mind, of having that mind that let's just go together for the cause of Christ. Let's in the love of our Lord, in the, you know, for the sake of our unity together. This isn't talking about, setting aside the doctrinal truths of the Scripture. This is just those things that we have and as we work and labor together as believers in Christ. And even as we were discussing in our adult Sunday school class this morning, that's what is a testimony to the community around us when they see us working, laboring together, submitting one to another, having the same goal, having the same love, and exercising those things that we have in our working and laboring together. This is really a passage that's the church in action. It's a passage that tells us the way God has designed the church to be. I believe we live in those last days. I believe we live in those days. We might not even have to go home tonight. I mean, the Lord might come and you won't even get to put to practice anything the Lord has convicted you of tonight. But he might not. And if he doesn't come tonight, we need to put it to practice, right? We need to work and labor together and go forth for our Lord. There's such a great falling away that we see. And if ever this passage was important, yes, it was important when it was written. It's important throughout the annals here of church history. And it's extremely important today. It's extremely important today as we work and labor together. I think of that passage in Hebrews where it says, not forsaking yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much as you see the day approaching. We live in a day when people are living to themselves in the house, those among our brethren. There are those that are forsaking the assembly. I'm just go on my own. But the Lord wants to be working together, laboring together, working as a body, exercising those gifts so we go as a body as the Lord has designed us to be. It's just a passage that I believe is a direction. It is a mindset that as we look at the mind of Christ, what is my mind to be, and how should it look? How should it look in the way I treat you, and the way you treat one another, and the way we function? And it's Paul said it's his joy. It would be his. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." Of one mind, not through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, each of us esteeming the other better than ourselves, looking on the needs and the things of others, rather than being so concerned about us having our own preferences and those things that we desire. May God help us to be a church as the Lord has designed it to be. We joy. And I would say, as I look at our congregation, I think I would say the same as Paul said there to the Philippians. These are things that are in you. These are things that are in you. At the same time, we got to really work at it to make it the very best and make it better. That we might serve Christ as we ought and not hold back with where we should. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this assembly. I thank you, Lord, for your work in each life. And Lord, each one has their own story. We've enjoyed hearing the testimony of Alvis tonight. that story, Lord, which is of your grace and your working in an individual life. Lord, and each one here that you've worked in, and you are working in different ways. Lord, you've called us together as a body of believers. Lord, help us to go forth with that one mind, with that one love. Lord, that people will know that we belong to you because they see us together for the cause of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.